Good evening. Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with me here on Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Dave Schrader. In the next 3 hours, we're going to explore something a little new. I've heard of demonic infestations. I've heard of possessions. I've heard of fairies, sprites, elementals. But this is a new one on me, demonic imps. Devastating results and something that is very serious to our two guests that'll join us for the next few hours, Chris Fleming and Bill Vail. Chris Fleming is a world-renowned paranormal investigator, researcher, and medium. He's hosted TV shows as Dead Famous and Psychic Kids. He currently hosts his own monthly podcast titled Spirit Talk and contends he was terrorized as a child and recently 4 years ago by little devil-like minion creatures he calls demonic imps. Bill Vail worked for the USN Nuclear Submarine Service and taught advanced sonar, including physics of sound. Following the service, he worked in the defense and aerospace, electronics, and consumer electronics manufacturing field as operations quality manager, operations manager, and pilot. He has 13 years personal experience with a demonic infestation and much of that time spent studying demonology. He founded United Paranormal International to bring people together from all over the world to exchange knowledge and to help others. Tonight, we'll talk about demonic interference and demonic imps. That comes up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. We've all heard stories of battling demons. We've seen the movie The Exorcist. We've heard of real-life cases like Anna Elise Michelle, also the basis for the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose. We've seen movies like The Conjuring with dealing with dark forces. But how real are these stories? How much of this is imagination, hyperactive imagination, exaggeration? Well, we've got two different gentlemen from two different backgrounds this evening joining us. Two different understandings, yet they're come together tonight, and they've been working together to try to get a handle on and understand what it is they've both been dealing with. Our guests for this evening, for the next 3 hours, Chris Fleming and Bill Vail, and they've been dealing with demonic forces and infestations. Chris, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
When you were a child, you began seeing these creatures, is that right?
Well, it first started with ghosts. I was seeing ghosts and spirits, shadow people, hearing my name call, getting tapped on the shoulder. Doors would open and close. You know, I kind of got used to that. Some of them were friendly, but it wasn't until I saw these faces that came out of the wall that scared the heck out of me.
Now, you're a psychic, you're a sensitive and a medium. So do you believe that you were prone to see these things because of your abilities, or do you think that these things were just prevalent in your home, that they were strong, that there was something there that predates any reason for them to be there?
I can't answer that 100%. I don't know. I would have to assume certain things, and trust me, I've gone through a lot of different scenarios in my head. Was the house haunted? Well, you know, possibly. But the thing was, is I had forms of ESP, which were passed down from my mom. So I would have dreams that would come true and certain sensitivities to things. That could be the case, is because of the sensitivities, I was able to see the ghosts. But when these things first appeared, for people listening, this would have occurred around 1976, 1977. We lived in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. My dad was a professional hockey player. And he traveled a lot, and sometimes my mom would travel because she was a flight attendant. But when I first saw these faces appear out of the wall, they weren't human-looking. They had large eyes, not the type of eyes that you see in these alien grays and stuff. I would not even compare them to that. But they had a beige, grotesque type of reptilian face skin. And there was probably about three or four of them that came through the wall, and then they disappeared. And then as the third time after they appeared and then disappeared, this black mass, kind of like a large tornado, came out of the closet, and the closet swung open. The thing that I noticed right away was the sense of fear and evil. And at the time, I was going to grade school, and I was an altar boy. So when I saw this, I mean, right away, I'm thinking it's the devil. I jumped up screaming, raced into my parents' room, and my mom was on a flight. She wasn't home. My dad wasn't home because he was working. We had a sitter that was watching us all week. She was folding the laundry, and as I come racing in with this thing coming after me, she actually saw it. And I jumped on the bed behind her, completely screaming bloody murder that the devil was after me. And I laugh about that because, you know, she quit the next day. But she turns around and witnesses this, and she's like, Lordy Jesus, and just, you know, steps back and starts throwing the towels at it. And this thing's coming towards us. I'm thinking we're going to die as a kid. It's some monster. And she starts saying the Our Father and the prayer, and the thing didn't like that. But the miraculous thing about it was, as she was saying the prayer, it was like there was an invisible barrier. It kept bouncing off, and then it went away. And then the next morning, she didn't really want to talk about it too much. She quit, and my dad came home and drove her to the city of Chicago, and she told him on the whole ride all the things that were going on in the house, the voices, hearing kids playing in the middle of the night. She thought it was us. It wasn't us. Shadows going across the walls, doors opening, closing, laundry getting thrown over the place. And then she says, and then the devil himself comes chasing after your son. So that's when it began.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned that these had alien-like characteristics. You even mentioned that what you were seeing had reptilian features.
You're correct.
And they're small, impish-like characters. How big would you say they are?
Well, here's the thing, and it's really interesting because I'm working on some cases right now with other people that have seen these things and some children currently as well. As a child, I thought these things were big. Okay, I thought they were maybe about 5 feet tall. Because, you know, you're a child, you're smaller, you know? And so I thought they were kind of big, not as big as my dad or anybody else, but, you know, maybe half his size. But when these things reappeared in 2009 as an adult to see this thing walk out of the closet, you turn away like, oh, my God, am I really seeing this? And you turn back and you're seeing it dead on. And you want to revert back to your childhood fears. And you can't because you're an adult, but all of a sudden you get mad because of all those years that you were afraid of this. And I'm no longer afraid of any of this anymore. I'm angry, you know, I want to fight this. But
do you believe that people that are, Chris, real quick, I just want, I don't know if you can hear me. We're getting kind of a weird feedback loop here. Let me go back real quick. I just want to follow up on this one thought process. For people that have claimed to have woken up at night and seen what they referred to as aliens, and I know that you've had an active interest in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you explaining these almost alien-like in nature, do you think that some people are mistaking quote-unquote alien encounters for these demonics?
Not all of them. Some possibly, but not all of them. Not at all. I do believe that there's aliens out there, and, you know, the research that I've done, everything. These things, clearly to me, because there's things that came afterwards, that are demonic, interdimensional. Possibly, maybe they even exist within the middle of the earth, or, you know, and they somehow are able to transport through our house, but they transport through darkness. But these things, the creatures that I saw, the small ones, they're about 2 feet tall, between 2 to 3 feet tall. And as an adult, I was like, wow, you're actually a lot smaller than I remember you being, you know, when I saw it. And I raced after it, and it darted back into the closet, into the darkness, and I pulled down all the clothes and everything and was gone. So I realized that it uses darkness to go from one place to another. But, they're all about, that I saw, between 2 to 3 feet tall.
Bill Vail, our second guest for the evening, is with us as well. And for 13 years, you had a personal experience with demonic infestation. That's part of his story. And we're going to talk to him a little bit more about that. We're having some phone difficulties. Bill, having 13 years personal experience with a demonic infestation and hearing Chris's explanation of his life dealing with these creatures, when you and Chris came together, did you realize that he was explaining to you the same creatures that you were witnessing?
Yeah, actually I did. Hi guys, I have phone problems. Seems to be an issue with me when I go on to try to do something like this. But yeah, I think we're seeing the same thing. Several people here have seen the same thing. The way we both describe them are very similar. I think they're of the same origin. It's not the exact same thing. They're the same type of thing.
Now, what makes you jump to the conclusion that these are demonics? What about it specifically reeks of demon connection?
Well, there's a whole background story before I actually saw these. As was portrayed on the show, there was a lot of events. It was an evolutionary process. A lot of events happened prior to me seeing these. Shadow figures, the bed shaking, things thrown at me, smells, the actual feeling of an evil presence. It wasn't until we started getting a little more proactive, and I actually had my brother and sister-in-law over here, and we saw those. All three of us saw those little 2.5-foot-tall, 3-foot-tall things. All saw them the same evening. There's probably been, I'm guessing, no less than 15 people that's seen them here. So they were connected with an already existing demonic situation or attack or what have you. I woke up with the scratches, the shoves, the punches, things like that. So they were associated with all the other activity that was going on.
Now, you said that there were up to 15 different people that saw these. Were they already aware of your story, or were they witnessing them, and then you would corroborate and tell them that this has been happening to you all along?
Some of both. I purposely didn't tell some people because I like the validation of somebody else seeing what I've seen. And I've had many of them. One of the investigators, Brian, for example, has been over here and seen them. I didn't describe them to him. I actually had an investigator that was here since she'd been an investigator for like 25 years and would like to see some sort of an apparition. And no sooner I got that out of her mouth that she said, "Oh my God," and got that look that I got used to seeing, and she had seen one run by.
You have people over and you don't front load them, let them really know about this. Some people you do, some people you don't. Are you concerned that them coming into this realm with you and into your environment can put them in danger as well? Because if these truly are demonic and you believe that, I mean, I would think that that's a kind of a dangerous game to play with other people.
Well, yeah, you're right. Except when this started, you have to understand, I knew nothing about this. I explained away, disbelieved, filed it away, and forgot it. It wasn't until later on that you're right, people that did come here did have awful issues, serious issues, everything from marital breakups to health to losing jobs to just about everything you can run. At that point in time, I actually did. The only person that came over here after that was the actual initial investigation team. And some of that was people no longer wanted to come here. They'd seen enough.
And was it stemming from just this location, or has this been following you or part of your world for many years?
Well, I thought it was just here. I'd never experienced, I could go visit relatives and turn the lights out, go to bed, and have a good night's sleep. And I really didn't think it did, but this last, I'm going to say March, I had a strange experience in my sister's house in Indiana. And I had that same feeling, something scurrying around in the house. I actually got up, turned the lights on, because I thought she had a couple of cats, and I thought one of the cats had gotten into the bedroom. And I just had that bad feeling that you get. And I did not know this until a couple of weeks ago, but my brother revealed that he heard the same demonic voice coming from that bedroom. And understand, this is from Texas going to Indiana. And he didn't tell me because they didn't want to upset me. But he said he heard that same demonic voice that we heard over the phone for several minutes. So apparently they do go with me. I don't know if they're going with me, attached to me, or it was just another similar instance. I can't explain that.
Well, Chris, do you believe that when somebody has been affected by demons, you know, much like yourself, a sensitive and a medium, once you've turned that light on, you become a beacon to these spirits. Do you think that somebody that's been affected by demons can draw them from other locations as well?
I wouldn't say that they actually draw them. It depends upon what type of deliverance or resolution occurred with the previous demon. The thing is that the one thing that I've recognized, and I can speak for me personally, I can't speak for others, is that they are aware of my experiences. They're aware of me seeing angels. They're aware of me seeing demons. They're aware of ghosts. They're aware that I can perceive things at times. So they're aware of that. For example, is they know that they can't scare me when they appear, that I will go after them. But they can appear to somebody else and terrify them and terrorize them. So they realize at a young age, and keep in mind, it's such a long story, but I say it briefly, as a child, I was terrified. When I saw them, I would run, I would scream, I thought I was going to die. But then I got over it. After an eighth, ninth grade, I was no longer afraid of them, and they stopped showing themselves. They were gone. They reappeared in 2009. However, I had a warning from a psychic that in 2000 that I was introduced to, didn't know anything about me, but told me about these things, that they were going to come back within 10 years. And they, to a T, named all the details that would occur, who would be in my life, everything. So when this thing appeared, the person I was with at the time, this whole thing just unfolded with the prophecy. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. I'm in the middle of it. I can't believe this. But I was no longer afraid of them. But the warning was that they would get at me through other people, because they know they can't get at me directly. I'm not afraid of them. They can't harm me directly, but they can harm me through other people. And all the violent things that happened to me after, see, here's the crazy thing is, and Bill can attest to this too, because him and I have talked in great detail and length about this, is this thing reappeared on September 16th, 2009. I drew a picture of it that night because I did not want to forget what it looked like when I saw it. And it's on my website if people want to go to it, ChristopherFleming.com, in my blog section. But this thing was so... On 9/16/2009, this thing appeared. On 9/23/2009, I got in a car accident and got a traumatic brain injury and some effects to my C1 and my C2 that I'm still going through therapy. Months later, I had my left cornea torn, 25%. Then about 8 months later, I had my nose broken. There was one thing after another that was happening to me that it just should not have happened. It was as if things were purposely being done to me. And, you know, I kept remembering, well, God, did I see this thing? After I go, no, I documented it. I drew it, and it happened on the 16th. And 7 days later, I had the accident. And it's just, these things will do whatever they can through other people to hurt you, you know. And I know Bill has gone through stuff like that as well.
But, Chris, isn't it, we're coming up to the break here, but can't that just be coincidence? I mean, sometimes bad things just happen to good people, and it has nothing to do with demonic.
No, there's, like I said, there's a lot more details in what they're trying to accomplish and trying to do. When you get into, the thing is I ended up getting possessed, and that's the thing, you know, there's so much to this to discuss. They want to wear you down mentally, physically, and spiritually as much as they can. They were attacking me in other areas. They will find my strength, and they'll find my weakness, and they will try to destroy that using other people. They know that when I'm physically incapacitated or having problems, they then will attack me spiritually, mentally. And the thing is, from the car accident, it was, even here in my speeches, I tend to get brain farts or tongue-tied in words, that I can't enunciate them properly because of this injury. Well, mentally and physically, I was suffering. So then they started to attack me spiritually. And how are they going to do that? They used love. They used relationships. And then they attacked me through that. And once they've got all those things covered, you become so weak that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Then they find another weakness in you, and then they attack that. So that's the thing. It's like they build these layers of wearing you down in all different ways so that they can get at you.
Chris Fleming, Bill Vail, our guests this evening, talking about battling dark forces, demonic entities, possessions, and demonic imps. We've got a lot more to cover this evening. Stay tuned. You're listening to Coast AM. Don't forget Coast Insider. It's an exclusive club. Downloads, podcasts, pick up 1,000 past programs. You can participate in monthly online chats, all for less than 15 cents a day. Go check it out at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. And if you're fascinated by the supernatural and the strange world around us, then join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time on Darkness Radio. You can find more information about my show at darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. And I'll be heading off to Scotland this May. We've got about 10 slots that remain open for a very limited allotment as we go check out haunted castles, haunted cemeteries, haunted hotels, and Loch Ness. If you want to be a part of that trip along with me, then go check out darknessradio.com. Click on the events tab and find out more information on how you can join me in my travels around the world as we experience the supernatural. This evening, we're talking with our guests, Bill Vail, Chris Fleming, and finding out more about their stories as they dealt with demonic entities in their lives, not only how it affected them, but how it impacted the people they love and cared for. We're going to get more into their story right after this. Battling demonic infestations. It's bad enough when it's something that's focused at you and messes with your life, but how do you deal with this when it begins interfering with your relationships, friendships, loves, and it starts affecting the people you care about most? Our guests this evening, Chris Fleming and Bill Vail, are here talking to us about their stories, their unique situations, which they're finding may not be so unique after all, something that's being shared and experienced worldwide. Chris, you were talking about how they attack sometimes through the people you love when they try to go that way. I guess this is where I'm confused. Why would they pick on Chris Fleming to begin with? Is it because you're already a psychic and sensitive and try to help and pass messages on and be a beacon of light? Do they just want to destroy that?
Well, that's a very good question. That's a question I've been wondering all these years. But the thing is, you know, when I saw Bill's show on Paranormal Witness and I realized that I'm not the only one going through this, and quickly over the last month, I've come across already 23 people just by putting a post out there that have seen these things when they were children or recently as an adult, I'm beginning to realize the more I research this that this has been going on for centuries, for thousands of years, these types of creatures, and that I'm not the only one, but I'm just one that has decided to come forward and speak about it.
You had this prophetic comment made to you, and then things started to fall in line, and you start to see these things happening in your life as they were told to you. Do you do anything then to protect and try to separate yourself from people so that maybe you could break that chain and not have the timeline follow the way the prophecy was spoken about?
Absolutely. But there's one thing I have to state is what I went through as a kid and how I overcame it was dramatic enough. But to have this woman tell me that they're going to come back at you, I was very, I must admit, very arrogant, cocky. Like, oh, I beat him once, I'll beat him again. I'm not afraid of him. You know, I believe in God and Michael, the angels, and, you know, I'm protected. She goes, no, you don't understand. You can't protect other people. They're going to come at you through other people. Like, ah, well, I won't even go out with that type of person. I'll walk away from that, you know. Surely, you know, said than done. But what was interesting is when I remember it was like 2001, when I started doing Dead Famous, we started filming between 2003 to 2006, there was three incidents that occurred while I was on the road traveling, where not when we were filming, but people I met, whatever, that all of a sudden the person is talking and they turn to me in a completely different voice and they say, we're watching you, we're coming for you. And then they go back to their conversation. I'm like, what did you just say? And they said, what do you mean? I didn't say anything. No, you just said something. When this happened three times, three different people that didn't even know my background, it startled me because I realized, oh, my God, are these the creatures I saw as a kid that they're starting to come that the prophet had told me about? And I just didn't really think any more of that until they manifested in 2009. Can I protect other people? No, because you don't know what's going on in someone else's mind. You don't know what their belief system is. If you have somebody that is afraid, you can't get them to not be afraid if that's just the way they are. You can instill power in them with the Bible and with religion and all that type of stuff. If someone has an addiction, you may not even be aware of it. They're going to attack that addiction on that person without you even knowing it. Remember, these things tend to mostly be in the invisible.
That's where it starts getting hard for me. I mean, you know, as a father myself and worrying about how my life will affect other people, you know, I'm very cautious in what I do, where I put myself in, what I allow myself to be exposed to. You're making it sound like you don't even have that choice. You can't protect those people. And if they choose to just come in and mess with you, there's nothing you can really do to keep that separated.
Let me give you an example. There was a time my ex, who's my girlfriend at the time, called me. She says, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at the gym." She goes, "Can you come home?" And I said, "Why?" She goes, I go, "What's wrong? You sound upset." And she starts crying. And I go, "Where are you?" She goes, "I'm in the bathroom." I start laughing. I go, "What are you doing in the bathroom?" She goes, "It's not funny." She goes, "I locked the door. I'm not coming out until you come home." She goes, "I saw something." I go, "What did you see?" She goes, "I'm not telling you until you get home." So I came home. As soon as I came home, she comes racing out of the bathroom. She's emotional and tells me, she goes, "I saw a child run across the room, saw him in the mirror, but it wasn't a child. What was it?" She's like, "I don't know." And, you know, as we started talking, it just seemed similar to one of these creatures. So she was scared, you know. The thing is I can do whatever I want, say whatever I want, but these things have their own agenda, and you can't really stop that. Now, if there were times where these things would manifest and she was there, and I would stand up and they'd go run and hide. But they knew that behind me, she's completely terrified. There was one night she jumped in the car and went flying to the police station because she was so scared. I'm like, "Why are you going to the police station?" She goes, "I don't know what to do. I don't know where else to go." You know? So it's, you know, we all have an upbringing of what our beliefs are, what we're afraid of, what we're not afraid of. Me, I'm not afraid of them. But when I'm with somebody else that is, you know, you can't control their reactions.
Bill, was this a mirror image of what was going on in your life, that the people around you began feeling these attacks and feeling this pressure and oppression coming from something else that you couldn't control?
Reliving it. It's exactly the way it is. I like Chris, grew. I can't say not to fear them, maybe a respect for them, but not to fear them so much as to fear the other people around me. And it seemed to affect them in a different way. I've actually been hospitalized several times. There's a part of the story, Dave, that I don't really reveal a lot of the information and details about, because it involves somebody that's innocent but was greatly affected by this. I would come home from work. I worked evenings. And she would be sitting outside because she was too afraid to be in the house. She wanted to sell the house and move, and it greatly affected her. And that effect on her, I hate to use the word possession. I don't know what to call it, but that effect on her caused harm to me. And as a result, I had EMTs here several times. I had police doing welfare checks several times. I had hospital trips to the ER several times, and actually admitted to the hospital a few times. And all with the same story that I hear when my computer breaks. Gosh, I've done this for 35 years. I've never seen this before. Or, man, we've done every kind of medical test on you we can think of, and we can't find it. They thought I was having what they call TIAs or mini strokes. All the tests in the world, they did blood tests and urine tests and MRIs and everything possible, and could find no cause for it. I eventually had to break off that relationship because I honestly didn't think I was going to survive it. So it's affected my family. It's affected my personal life. It's affected my, you call it isolation, whatever you want to call it. But I have people that won't even come to the house anymore because they fear it, have a healthy respect for it, or it's damaged their personal lives to the point where they just are, they don't want any more part of it. But I'm perfectly welcome there, but they will not come here.
Well, then is it time to get out of there, Bill? Is it time to move?
You know, Dave, I've been asked that several times. Everybody that's been here and experienced this, you know, I get used to that same look when they leave me for the night, realizing that I have to go in the bedroom and go to bed and try to sleep. And I've given a lot of thought of that. And there's a couple of things. Now, I'm not saying I'm trying to be particularly brave, but there's also there's another element to this that can you imagine if I sold this house and I realized that a family with children were moving in, and this thing was part of the house, and I caused them to endure what I've been enduring. Or B, if I do and I move and it follows me, I've gained nothing anyway. So I've just chosen to stay and fight it. I've come to some conclusions that this thing cannot kill me. It has boundaries, limitations, rules. Its main weapon is fear. And so I chose to stay and fight it. There's been nights that I've regretted that decision, but that was my choice because I really didn't see a choice.
So you don't feel as though it can actually murder you, but it can certainly hurt you physically, mentally, affect you. It's affecting your relationships, affecting those things. What have you done to clear this? I mean, have you gone to an exorcist? Have you gone to specialists that can clear locations of that type of energy?
Yeah, I have. I will tell you, I've tried every form of cleansing. You have to understand, when I started this, I was an absolute skeptic. I explained away things that you'd just shake your head and go, huh? But I either wouldn't let myself believe, or I was such a strong skeptic that I wasn't objective at all. And I went from that to being unable to explain it away as anything other than paranormal instead of normal. And it was a long search to find a good team, and then a long trial with the team to realize that I think his final words is, I need to find you a priest. Because we tried everything. We tried saging and salt and smudging and Reiki and every possible cleansing that you can think of, and it just only got worse. Finally found a Christian group that did the Christian thing. They prayed and fasted for 3 days before they came, and it was quite a remarkable evening when they came, and it seemed to help for a while, but then it came back. And it finally got to the point where I was at such a low level that I didn't care, and I came home from a meeting in the afternoon, and I was so sleep-deprived that I'd come home after the meeting about 4:15, 4:20, and I had to be at an appointment at 6 o'clock in that evening. So I would lay down and try to get an hour's rest. And I laid down and wide awake, things started pushing down on my bed, and I could actually see this. And to me, it was like those little demons running around on my bed. It's kind of what I want to equate it to. I don't know what it was. I could just see the impressions and feel it. And that's where my thoughts went to. And you're constantly reassuring yourself that this is really going on, that this is so far out there, that it's actually happening. And I'm sitting here wide awake and watching this stuff push down on my bed. And what? Shortly thereafter, I heard this loud crash in my dining room. And I, oh, my God, something's tore up the stuff in my dining room. So I went in there, and things started crashing, and I go to one room, they crash in another room. I go to that room at 4, 5, 6 times, and then my car alarm started going off, and I just lost it. I didn't run around screaming, yelling. I every time it would make a loud crashing noise in one room, I'd go in there, and I would just say, I no longer fear you. I've had it. Manifest yourself. I want to have a fair fight with you, a final fight, and in the name of Christ, I am going to send you to hell, or you're going to send me to hell. And for 30 minutes or so, it would crash another room, and I would go to that room and say the same thing. And it was, like I said, it was a good 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the air lifted, it lightened, it got quiet and peaceful. And I don't know what happened, but apparently, I did something, bound it, because it wasn't over. But it seemed to be better in my house, and that's when I started getting the phone call interruptions. In fact, I've had all kinds of problems tonight with phone calls, and Chris has been hearing some things on the phone, and when we did Chris's radio show, we had nothing but phone issues. Seems like I equate it to a mad dog on a chain that's desperately trying to break the chain to get back at me, and the only way it has right now is through the phone, because I've bound it from the house.
You have a faith, Bill. You believe in God, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Why do you believe your God would let this happen to you then?
I don't know.
I don't mean to put you on the spot with that. Yeah, but I'm just curious.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. I'll just go back to that. He doesn't give you more than you can handle.
Right.
Maybe he gave it to me and Chris because we could handle it and alert the world. I don't know.
Chris, does it ever shake your faith, Chris, that you think, okay, you know what? I've had enough. You've given me this ability. You've given me these skills. And sometimes you're just heaping too much on me. That's where I start having problems with the whole powerful deities and the gods and demons and things like this, because I would like to believe that if there's a God, he's a good, caring, loving being. Why let this happen to begin with? And I understand we have free will, but I highly doubt your free will is, you know what, I think I'd like to be screwed with by a demon.
Yeah. No. Two things. One, saying what Bill said, is, you know, when I was a child, my mom bought me a sword to sleep with. You know, I would battle these things, and you know, I felt safe having it next to me until I had this dream, and the devil took, you know, cut off my arms and legs, and I was just useless with the sword. There would be these constant battles that would go on at night. The one time
now,
I
to
had
clarify, a, Chris, to clarify, your mom bought you a fake sword, right? She didn't give a child a real sword.
Correct. It was a glow-in-the-dark fake sword right after Star Wars came out, but it was a sword. She was here. You know, Michael had a sword, the Archangel. That's your conference main confirmation name.
Okay.
You can have this sword, you know, and go to battle with these demons. Well, it worked for a little while, and then it was useless. But here's the thing, is I had one of those, I don't know why I had one of those stick crosses, but it's the cross you pull out. It's got the candles, and it's got the holy water on it. I, as a child, I had that, and I would put it beside my bed because I felt, you know, as an altar boy and everything, that Jesus would be close to me. Well, this one night, I had this, it was so real, this dream that I was downstairs and the demon was coming after me. So I put the cross out, and then Jesus came off the cross and urinated on me and had this laugh, this demonic laugh coming from him. Well, I woke up in tears, like, why would Jesus do that to me? How could he do that to me? I was so devastated. I was so upset because I was putting my faith in him. And my mom told me, she says, Chris, it's the devil. He's messing with you. He wants to weaken you. He wants you not to pray to Jesus, not to feel that. And I realized that, you know, you're right, you know. So I had to be stronger. But I think these things happen in cycles also to make me stronger, to remind who I am, where my faith is, and become stronger. Because the things that went on since 2009, especially what was going on a couple months ago, actually has made me stronger. And to that point where I said, enough is enough. Like you just said, Dave, I was saying, that's it, enough is enough. So I went and I staged the whole house. Guess what? 3 hours later, I go into the kitchen, the microwave door's open, which is the third time they've done that in 6 months, which was a slap in the face saying, yeah, it saves the house, but we're still here. We open up the microwave door. And I'm like, that's it. So I got down. I said, God, I can't take this no more. I said, I've got work to do. I got projects. I'm getting just bombarded by these things at night with the sounds and being woken up. And all of a sudden, I get two hours later, Adam Bly texts me. He says, hey, you popped into my head. I got a word to call you. We haven't talked in 8 months. And he says, how are you? And I said, honestly, you know, Adam was at my house in 2010, did a complete cleansing of my house. And I said, you know, I need help. It started again. So he was just out here 3 weeks ago, cleansed my entire house. It's been pretty good since he's been gone, you know.
But and for the listeners that don't know,
from someone else.
Adam Bly is a religious demonologist who works in the field and assists with Catholic exorcisms and actually helps to assist and train exorcists so that they understand how to deal with some of these. We're talking with our guests, Chris Fleming, Bill Vail, this evening on Coast to Coast AM, dealing with the diabolical, how they have faced demons and demonic imps in their life. and how that battle continues. We'll do that in the next hour of Coast to Coast AM. And then in the fourth hour, we'll be taking your phone calls if you've had experiences with the demonic, with these creatures that Chris and Bill are talking to us about this evening. We want to hear your stories. So we invite you to join us and talk about these and share your real life encounters. Or if you have questions for our guests and how they're dealing with that, we'd love to hear from you about that as well. We're going to take our top of the hour break here. We'll be back. More Coast to Coast continues right after this.